I suppose it could be said that when a soul is elevated into the intermediate levels of training, they are being initiated into a guild of sorts. However, I would not equate this with the historic craft guilds of the Middle Ages, which were called mystery schools of training. These were exclusive and rather secret organizations for members only. Although there are elements of privacy accorded to souls selected for specialized training, it is by no means elitist. Aspiring new arrivals are always welcome to groups of specialists. These assemblages of more specialized souls are rather loosely knit at first. I have defined them as independent study groups. The training begins slowly on a periodic basis with different specialized teachers. This allows for an evaluation period for souls by their trainers. Souls who are testing the waters may leave these specialty groups while other promising candidates can be added. This practice is in opposition to the formation of long-term primary soul groups. The instruction becomes more intense as these new groups demonstrate they can handle assignments. In these early stages, while souls are being weaned from their original groups, they still retain their regular guides and attend primary group functions. Independent study has a greater emphasis on self-direction by the soul in their tasks, which becomes even more pronounced as they develop into level 4 and V proficiency. A number of soul specializations have been listed in preceding chapters. In order of presentation, they have been described as the Dreammasters, Redeemers of Lost Souls, Keepers of Neutrality, Restoration Masters, Incubator Mothers, Archivist Souls, Animal Caretaker Souls, Musical Directors, and Gamekeepers. There seems to be an overlapping of certain specialties. For instance, gamekeepers who train others in travel may also be explorer souls for new sites useful in R&R and the more serious planetary aspects of energy training. In this chapter, one will cite further examples of soul specialties. I am sure readers will recognize what specialty area might fit their own inclinations. There does not appear to be a certain path that would ultimately lead souls to a seat on a council. The elders seem to come from a background of many specializations. I think most people feel the teacher guides probably have an inside track to such positions. Of course, it is natural guides would appear to the average client to be the premier profession. Yet I know this perception is colored by the fact that, while all my subjects have guides, many have little contact with advanced souls in other specialties. I can only imagine what other specializations souls are offered that no subject is able to describe. When I discuss the topic of specialty areas during my lectures, a lot of people say they thought all souls were being groomed to be teacher guides. I had the same idea in the early phases of my research. Eventually, I learned that while teaching is a leading specialty in the spirit world, this does not mean that most souls make great teachers. Because teaching is so vital to souls, I will begin with a category of this field I haven't covered before. Specializations, nursery teachers. In Journey of Souls, I discussed the activities of junior and senior teaching guides, and my subjects have documented the activities of their guides in this book. However, not much information has been offered about advanced souls who are brand new teachers in training. They are called the nursery teachers, or caretakers of children, because the young souls they work with have not yet begun their incarnations. Following case 26 in chapter 5,1 quoted the recent memories of a very young soul on Earth who explained that once a new soul is created, they are not immediately thrown into a physical incarnation. Earth is such a difficult school for training, it is best that many new souls are allowed time in adjusting to planetary life as discarnates. This is illustrated by the following report from a subject. I remember when I was a very young soul and came to Earth for the first time with a couple of friends. As spirits, we floated around to check our capacity and adaptability to this place while accompanied by our teacher. We were shown how to collect the magnetic vibrations of this planet and blend them with our own. We needed to feel what it would take for us to be in physical form here. It is my belief a large majority of my clients are inclined toward teacher training to be guides. This is because they venerate their own guides, who have such a strong influence on their current development, and wish to emulate them. Of course, a soul's current aspirations and eventual specialization assignments may not coincide. Teachers must be good communicators. Yet a skilled communicator who is able to motivate, for example, might not have the ability to work with a soul mind trying to integrate with many human egos in all their host bodies. Nursery teachers who work with very young souls may not choose to become guides for the general population of souls for many reasons. Working with the child's soul is challenging because many young souls do not seem to be able to move on with their reincarnations and will require remedial studies. Case 28 told us something about the spiritual setting of teachers and the elementary souls, which one will expand upon in case 55. I have to keep on my toes with advanced clients, and questioning them about soul colors in their descriptions of settings is a big help. The man in case 55 is entering a level 4 proficiency and had just finished telling me about the variety of yellow blear lights in his own specialty group composed of 3 souls. I was ready to move on to something else when I thought of one more question, which opened up a whole new line of inquiry. Case 55, Dr. N, is that all the colors you see in this vicinity? S, no, there are 11 kids, white lights, bunched together off to the left of us. Their energy is smaller, with a shorter energy pattern, and rather scattered. The young ones are very exuberant. Note, at this point my subject became very excited when he recognized one of these souls as his child today. I let him enjoy this moment and then we continued. Dr. N, do you see any differences in light intensity from these 11 souls? S, not much. The very innocent and timid kids have dim lights. We don't have one of those right now. Dr. N, what relationship do you have with these 11 souls? S, I'm being assisted in their training by 2 colleagues whom I haven't known for very long because they come from other groups. Dr. N, did the 3 of you have a common background on Earth to prepare you for this initial teaching assignment? S, well, we were teachers, holy men, healers, that kind of thing in our past lives. One must have sensitivity and great patience to this sort of work, stops, then adds as an afterthought, you know, teachers can learn from students. Dr. N, I'm sure that's true. Why don't you give me a sense of where you and these children are right now in the spirit world? S, we are sent to neutral areas for training because it would be too inhibiting for these kids to be near the regular teaching classrooms. Dr. N, what's going on at the moment? S, laughs, they are whizzing about in all directions, more interested in pulling pranks on each other than learning anything. Things will change when they start to incarnate. My next quote is a condensation from the case of a woman who is working with souls that have just begun to incarnate. I have my hands full right now with 7 goofoffs. They like being playboys and playgirls during their incarnations. They just want to stay as children and not take light seriously. They are overly fond of earthly pleasures and don't want to deal with the hard stuff. Their major interest is looking beautiful in the next life. Alant, my senior guide, has left them with me and I don't see him very much. I'll admit my style is extremely lenient. I use lots of gentleness and love. Some of the other teachers say I spoil them outrageously. I know of teachers who express a lot of frustration and become stern with their young students, especially those with potential. The council is interested in my teaching methods. They want to test my theories of permissiveness rather than giving this class a mental spanking. My concept of teaching is that once these child souls do start to develop, the leap they will take into maturity will be more rapid because they won't have had their self-confidence shaken by too many hard lessons and setbacks too soon. Ethicists, for a long time one considered the instruction of ethics to be part of all teaching rather than a specialty by itself. The next case is that of a 26-year-old man from Detroit, a level V, whose spiritual name is Andarado. Initially, I tried to dissuade him from coming to see me. I normally do not take clients under the age of 30. This is because 1, don't think the average young person has passed that many major forks in the road of life. Their amnesia blocks may be too firmly in place. There is also the increased possibility of obstructions by their spirit guides during hypnosis, who might feel it is too early for their student to see certain karmic pathways. And Arado was an exception, and I'm glad he overruled my concerns. This client had sent me a letter stating, "I am anxious to experience my immortal identity because I have long felt I know things and have skills beyond what I should for my age. I hear these declarations from many young people and, more often than not, their stage of development is not what they imagined after a session with me." This was not true with this client. When one met Andarado, I was struck by his intensity, alertness and self-containment, which I found unusual for someone his age. As his session progressed, I found that Andarado first came to Earth during the rise of Babylon, which I thought was rather late in Earth time for a blue light. He told me his incarnations began on a dark, quiet world with intelligent, although unemotional, life forms who were dying as a race. This was a world devoted to reason and logic. Eventually, Andarado asked for a transfer to a brighter world where he could incarnate into a more sensitive being. He was given Earth. While reviewing his past experiences in a spiritual classroom, I learned of Andarado's interest in how planetary magnetic energy affects intelligent behavior on certain worlds. His latest assignment was creating brain tissue for a small feline creature. Andarado explained, "I set up a lattice of energy to screen and study patterns of behavior responses. I have to be careful not to hook up a 12-volt battery into a 6-volt system." I assumed he was studying to be a master of design. I was in for a surprise. Case 56, Dr. N. Andarado, we have talked about your work in the spirit world with teaching students. You have also explained a little about your energy creation studies with the thought processes of lower forms of life. This leads me to conclude you are preparing to be a specialist in either teaching or design. S. laughs, "Neither is true. I am training to be an ethicist." Dr. N. Oh? How about these two areas of your early studies we have just talked about? S. They have been offered to me as prerequisites so I will be more effective as an ethicist. This is my passion, working with the moral codes of intelligent beings. Dr. N. But isn't the reviewing of morality, values and the standards of conduct basic to the work of all teaching guides? S. Yes, but moral principles as they relate to objective values are so essential to human development one can specialize in that field. There is usually an ethicist on every council. Dr. N., why did you spend so much time on another world before coming to Earth? S. Being versed in the morality of other intelligent societies is good training for any ethicist. Dr. N., okay, Andarado, tell me, how many student souls from Earth did they give you when you began working between lives on your true vocation? S. Only a couple at first. Dr. N. One, suppose they were very young souls? S. Yes. But then that changed and I now have 18 middle-level souls. Dr. N. Why are you allowed to be working with level ills when you have not finished incarnating on Earth yourself? S. This is exactly the reason for my current assignment. I'm not experienced enough to be helping the very troubled, less developed souls. Because I am still unseasoned, they don't give me the really difficult cases. I can give advice to souls with more maturity because I was in their shoes not so long ago. Dr. N., do you work with your students both in the spirit world and while they are on Earth? S. Firmly, not during the periods when they are incarnating on Earth. That is the prerogative of their teaching guides. I work with them only in the spirit world. Dr. N., how do you see ethics as a test for human society? S. Primarily because it is so easy for human beings to drift away from moral behavior and to rationalize their actions. Dr. N., would you say this is because the average person is pragmatic in believing the end justifies the means and being perceived as individually successful? S. Yes, and this appears to people to be in opposition to universalism. Dr. N., Do you see any resolution in the conflict between universalism and rugged individualism in human attitudes? S. Working for world betterment would eventually do away with intolerance against those who are different from us. The need for personal status and elitism is the conflict because it is equated with happiness. Dr. N. So you see our dilemma as the conflict between placing a desire for personal happiness and individual goals above the alleviation of suffering among the human population? S. For many on this planet, that is the dilemma of selfishness. Dr. N. Could you take this a bit further? Are you saying that humans by nature are not a race of egalitarian and charitable people? S. The average human has this dilemma, although many do not think being self-centered is a problem for them. This is the great test for coming to Earth and why my work is so difficult here. The lesson of Earth, as far as morality and ethics are concerned, is for the soul to be encased in the body of a being whose instincts, whose very nature, cry out for personal survival. The plight of others is secondary. Dr. N., you do not find a natural good in humans which is linked to the conscience of a soul? S., of course. That is a major part of my specialty, to develop this element of goodness so that eventually it will be a natural reaction to difficult circumstances on Earth. Dr. N., does the need for self-reliance have to be in opposition to a consideration for others on this planet? S., personal ideals and values can result in general happiness for society as a whole, if we become fully engaged with the righteousness of the soul mind as the core power of self. Dr. N., what is the most helpful advice you give your students before they come back to Earth? S. Grins. They're like race horses, so I caution them to be patient and pace themselves. The energy that goes into controlling the human body must be parceled out carefully. They are at the stage of learning the fine balance of ethical behavior. When they live in a physical world as dense as Earth, they must guard against being absorbed by it in order to be effective. After I finished with this client, I reflected on how many physiologists believe the human sensory system is overdeveloped as an outgrowth of our primitive origins. Aggression and avoidance behavior has been a means of survival for humans since the Stone Age. In our evolutionary process, we have a brain which does not yet have complete control over our bodily responses. Under high emotional stress, we tend to lose rationality. Jung tells us, the rational and irrational exist side by side and healthy people recognize the workings of both forces within themselves. We should look to our mental neuroses and physical ailments as unconscious value patterns. Most of us start off making a lot of dumb mistakes and by the end of our life we become smarter. The idea of coming back in repeated incarnations is that eventually we will get it right early on and lead productive lives from the beginning. In this quest we are often ego-driven and we forget that what is good for us is generally good for other people. Unfortunately, the philosopher Kant was right when he said, if we believe in the immortality of the soul created by a divine source, this presupposes free will which may not include moral behavior. There is a great need for ethicist souls. It can be said that there are reasons for the actions of some people turning out badly because of an underdeveloped soul coexisting with a disturbed human brain. Because of these conditions, our free will toward making good choices could be more inhibited. One hath tried to show that in the spirit world souls do not use this argument as a valid excuse for the lack of control over emotions in a host body. The solution for all of us to improve is staying with the process of continuing evolution to become better than we are. Our spirit guides were once just like us before they attained their current status. We are given many host bodies and all of them are imperfect. Rather than being obsessive about a body which will only last one lifetime, concentrate on the evolution of your soul self and rely on your spiritual power. As we do this, our capability for connecting with others will evolve and eventually cut through the dilemma of moral distinctions that were articulated by the Solam Darado. Hartmanizer souls. This specialty represents a broad classification of souls with many subgroups. Nevertheless, while I access the minds of so many people, I do see an interdependence and connection behind all soul specialties. Souls in the general category of harmonizers often incarnate as communicators working in a variety of capacities. When they are discarnated beings, I am told they work as restorers of disrupted energy on the face of the earth. Incarnating harmonizer souls might be statesmen, prophets, inspirational messengers, negotiators, artists, musicians and writers. Typically, they are souls who balance the energy of planetary events involving human relationships. They may be public or private figures who operate behind the stage of world events. These souls are not healers in the traditional mode of working with individuals because harmonizers function on a larger scale in attempting to diffuse negative energy. In my first book, I wrote about the sages, who are highly advanced souls that are still incarnating on Earth even though it is unnecessary for their own personal development. I am told they are skilled linguists with the ability to phrase words in vibrational tones that deeply touch people. These wise beings are here because it is their mission to help humanity in a direct physical way. They are unobtrusive and may wish for no public attention. From what I can gather, they are not large in number. These highly evolved old souls among us are considered to be active observers of events. They report on human trends that they feel require special attention. For this reason, I place them under harmonizer souls. It is evident to my subjects that the sages are somehow connected to another group of harmonizer specialists in the spirit world whom they call the Watchers. These beings do not incarnate but receive information from many sources about conditions on Earth and other worlds as well. One have precious little data about them. What I do have comes from a few clients who know of them only through their own training to be harmonizer souls. Presumably, a watcher provides information to other harmonizers, who will act to moderate the effects of social and physical forces creating havoc on Earth. The case which follows is from a level V called Larian, who is in training to be a harmonizer. Case 57, Dr. N. Larian, could you explain something about being in the specialty of harmonizing and what you do? S. I am a raw recruit, but I will try. I am learning about harmonizing Earth's discordant energy to help people. Dr. N, do you mean with the geophysical elements of Earth, such as high winds, fire, earthquakes, that sort of thing? S, I have friends in that pursuit, but this is not my area of study. Dr. N, well, all right, then, before we get to your tasks, what are your friends learning? S, these planetary restorers soften the destructive aftermath of natural physical forces, which cause large amounts of negative energy. Dr. N, why don't the powers that exist in the spirit world just prevent these natural disasters from happening in the first place and save people a lot of grief? S, shakes head, then they wouldn't be natural catastrophes, which are intended to be part of the conditions of life on Earth. A planetary harmonizer would not interfere with these forces, even if they had the capability, which I don't think they do. Dr. N, then what is their function? S, spread the seeds of coherent energy into the disturbed, to neutralize large concentrations of negative energy. They work with polarity and magnetic force to assist in human recovery, grins. We call them the vacuum cleaners. Dr. N, okay. Larian, where does your own work fit into the scheme of things? S, I hope to make a contribution with catastrophic events directly, created by people. Dr. N, how many other trainees are in your section? S, 4. Dr. N, do you and your associates plan to stop wars? S, perturbed, I don't think 1 am getting across to you. Our training is not designed to tamper with the minds of people who cause human suffering. Dr. N, why not? Are you saying as a harmonizer soul you would not want to intercede in some way with a Hitlerian psychopath bent on destruction? S, the mind of the psychopath is closed to reason. I am in training to maintain positive energy around calmer heads who can make a difference in world events. Dr. N, isn't that tampering with free will, cause and effect, and the whole issue of natural karmic influences? S, pause. The conditions are already in place for the unfolding of cause and effect. We wish to allow for more rational thinking by sending waves of positive energy to the right people, We do not orchestrate resolutions. We offer a quiet atmosphere for dialogue. Dr. N, you know, Larian, it seems to me you are fences straddling between tampering and not doing so. S, then I am not getting through to you. Maybe if I explain more what 1 AM doing at present you will see the difference. I am learning to adjust my energy beam to diffuse and rearrange the forces of negative human energy generated each day on Earth. It is like opening a dam to provide needed water to make the valley below fertile. Dr. N, I don't know if I am convinced yet, but please continue. S, patiently, I go to a huge dome to practice with my small group. Alet is there, she is our instructor, very accomplished, catches our mistakes at once. It is here we practice the art of balancing vibrational disharmony. Eventually, we hope to smooth out large masses of disruptive energy patterns on Earth. Dr. N, what happens in the dome? S, it provides a geometric base for certain oscillations and intervals to simulate erratic waves of human thought from large groups. It is deliberately stirred up for us. We are supposed to smooth it out. Dr. N, to foster expressions of harmonic thought. S, yes, thought and communication. We also study vocal tones and analyze their meanings, anything which influences negative thought. We want to help people who wish to help themselves. This is not direct interference. Dr. N, all right, Larian, but when you become proficient at being a harmonizer soul, what power will you possess? S, we will become senders of recovering energy to combat mass disillusionment. The melody of a harmonizer whispers through the corridors of Earth of better things to come. We are messengers of hope. After listening to the explanations of a number of harmonizer souls, one have come to believe that those spiritual masters who designed this laboratory of chaos we call Earth did not set things in motion and then walk away. There are superior beings who care enough about our survival to watch over us. Frankly, for much of my life I did not believe this could be true. There is a common theme I hear among harmonizer souls. They wish to give people the means to help themselves where they can, but they are not the conscience of human beings and they do not interfere with our free will. We were created and sent to Earth to problem solve within the matrix of an intelligent life form living in a difficult environment which involves suffering but also great beauty and promise. It is this balance we must recognize in our day-to-day reality. There is an old Chinese proverb that states we count our miseries carefully and accept our blessings without much thought. Masters of design, while this specialization is also multifaceted, to me it represents two major subdivisions of souls. Within a geophysical environment, there are purely structural specialists and those who create living things within these settings. The Master of Design trainees of my limited experience are assigned to work in a physical universe, frequently with uninhabited planets in the process of cooling after being formed out of stars. Those souls who are involved with the creation of life forms are engaged with worlds where new life is evolving. I will begin by reviewing the activities of the structural souls who are in training to use energy for the designing of planetary geology. I think of them as architect builders of topography who work with the component parts making up planetary surface features. This would include mountains, bodies of water, atmosphere and climate. Although structural specialists are associated with souls dedicated to landscaping with plants, trees and living creatures, that work is considered to be a separate classification of design. Structurally oriented souls are likely to begin their craft by constructing, in the spirit world, objects they knew in life. Case 58, Dr. N, how many souls were in your original cluster group? S, there were 21, most of us have been split up now. Dr. N, does that mean you don't see much of the original group? S, reflectively, no, that's not it, just that we are scattered around. Most of us don't work together anymore. Brightening, I do see my old friends at other times. Dr. N, did any members of the old group come with you? S, 3, and 2 stayed. Dr. N, how many souls have been assigned to your new group? S, 8 right now, and we hear one more is coming. Dr. N, I am curious how this change in your endeavors came about. Can you explain what the transition out of your original group was like for you?